Welcome to Trinity Life Church Podcast Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoy listening.
How are we all? We all good? Excellent. It feels like it was only like a couple of weeks ago that I was up here talking to you a lot about Jonah. But I look back and it's about 6 weeks, so time goes very quickly. This week I'm delivering the second in our series on the body. And this one's entitled Unite and Build. I suspect Matt gave it to me in the hope that as an architect I might know something about building. We'll see. I'm a real sucker. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm a real sucker for a dictionary definition. Do like a dictionary definition. So before we get stuck into the verses we're going to look at, we're going to have a quick look at what unite and build actually mean in terms of the dictionary definition, because I think it's really important that we understand the words we're talking about. So I found two definitions for unite online. Both are pretty similar. Let's see if this works. Here we go. Brilliant. So the first is this, to join together as a group, or make people join together as a group, to combine. See, I like the make people join. I'm quite a dictator. I quite like the idea of making people join together. But to join together as a group. That idea of coming together, being one, is also reflected in the second definition. Although this one introduces the idea of a common purpose or action. So coming together around something that we've all got in common. So far, so straightforward. Pretty straightforward, pretty clear. Build has a slightly more varied set of definitions. There's the obvious one, to make stuff by putting together bricks or other materials. And the less literal definitions, so to create and develop something over a long period of time, to make or become stronger or more intense, so building muscle, that kind of thing. We'll come back to the definitions in a minute. But let's take a look first at the two verses in Corinthians that form the basis of our time together this morning. Our first verse is this one. See, I spent loads of time yesterday doing PowerPoint presentations. It was great. I do like a PowerPoint. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions amongst you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. I like to play around with verses sometimes. So having looked at the definitions, what I quite like to do is drop them into the verse, see if that makes them a little bit more understandable. So here we go. There you go. There's that verse with the definition of unite dropped in. So it now reads, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions amongst you, but that you come together perfectly in mind and thought towards our common purpose. That sort of fiddled with version, that edited version, leads quite nicely into the second verse, which is 1 Corinthians 14, 26, which says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. So let's do the definitions trick. I don't think that quite works, does it really? Everything must be done so the church may be made from bricks and other materials. I don't think that's quite the right reading. I don't think it gets to the heart of what Paul was trying to say. I think this next one, if the slide goes, is much better. So what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so the church may become stronger and more intense. I think that's probably closer to what Paul was talking about. All right. So what have we now got? There we go. There's both verses crushed together with my definitions stuck in. So it now reads, I appeal to you. I have cut some bits out to make it a bit more sensible. You don't need I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, twice. So I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions amongst you, but that you come together perfectly in mind and thought towards our common purpose. When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so the church may become stronger and more intense. There will be some of you who realise I've taken massive liberties with Corinthians by chopping out great big chunks in between and crushing the two together. There is a reason for that. as long as I tell you, I'm being honest. I do believe, as you can probably tell, that there is a link between these two verses, and that Paul is, throughout the book of Corinthians, encouraging them to come together in both mind and thought, so they're focused on their common purpose of making this church stronger and more intense. So, could anyone tell me what they are? Bag of celebrations. Well done. Very recognisable. Now, you're going to have to bear with me on this one, because I believe this bag of celebrations is a metaphor for the church. Okay? We recognise this as a bag of celebrations. If I send one of my kids down to the co-op this afternoon and ask them for a bag of celebrations, they will know exactly what I'm asking for. And hopefully, they'll come back with another one of those, because those are going to disappear after the meeting, and I'm going to need something to snack on later. Okay? I won't get any change, I guarantee you that, but I will end up with a bag of celebrations. But there's no one single sweet in this pack called a celebration. You can't go and buy a celebration bar. It's a bag of a collection of different sweets, Twixes, Snickers bars, Bounties, which together make a whole. These sweets are united as celebrations, but they're not uniform. They're together, but they're different. And in their bag, in their unity, they have an identity which is greater than the sum of their parts. Does that make sense? Yeah? I want to be really clear this morning that when we're talking about being united, I'm not talking about us all being the same. We don't all have to be clones of the leadership team to build church, to make church stronger. Can you imagine if that bag of celebrations only contained loads of little bounty bars? I mean, who would buy that? Can you imagine? Yeah, certainly Isabel would never go anywhere near it. Paul talks about being united in what we say and in our minds and thought. And though it's tempting to stand up here and tell you all you have to think like me, talk like me, be like me in all ways, frankly, that would kill the church off in about a week. All right. What makes church a really vibrant and supportive place is the fact that we are all different, with a variety of backgrounds, professions and experiences that we bring together to forge a common path, to aim towards a common goal. Do we all bring different opinions and slants on things? Absolutely. But our heart is a shared vision. You don't have to look particularly hard for examples of what happens when unity is absent. Just look at the recent past in this country. Look at the effect the whole Brexit debate's had, the general election that we've recently had, and look at the effect that that's had on society. There's a lack of national unity and common purpose, and that's created tension and distrust. Victors crow about their victories, whilst losers engage in bitter arguments and autopsies about what went wrong. This is in part because that core British character of pulling together to make the country and society a better place appears to have died a death some time ago. Instead, division holds sway. But frankly, that's no surprise, because the devil thrives in disunity. And we live in a world where he has dominion. Until we, as a country, rediscover a common purpose and put aside our differences to work together towards the common good, then frankly, the devil will continue to wreak havoc. And Paul shows us the alternative a bit later in 1 Corinthians 14, if the slide will go. God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And we have to hold on to that truth. Where the devil exists to divide and rule, to separate us from God by sowing disunity and distracting us from our relationship with God, God's relationship with us is based on something else entirely, peace and love. It's a partnership, not a dictatorship. This country, and indeed the world, will never see unity and peace until it rediscovers God and makes him the driving force behind what it does. Our mission, as part of the worldwide church, is to impact the world with God's message of salvation and a personal relationship with him. Redemption. We here at TLC have a responsibility to be united in the delivery of that mission here where we are. So whether that's Buntingford, Bassingbourne, Royston, you know, any of the villages. We can disagree about detail. We can have different views on theology. But there are certain beliefs that regardless of our denomination, as a church across the world, Christians unite around. I've had a go. I've probably missed a load, so forgive me, because it was yesterday. So these are what I think are core values that as Christians we can all sign up to. There is only one God. He exists and he's worthy of our worship. I hope everyone can agree that. Maybe I should just get you all to put your hands up if you disagree. That would be telling, wouldn't it? God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-omnipresent, i.e. all over the place, in a good way. We are created in God's image by him. No screams of outrage yet. Excellent. Jesus is God. He is without sin and died and rose again so that our sins could be washed away and we could be reconciled to God the Father and have a personal relationship with him. Jesus will return in splendor and reestablish his kingdom. No screams of horror yet. Marvelous. Those of us who have accepted Christ into our lives and repented of our sins will have eternal life with God the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. The Bible is the word of God and given to us by God to teach and inspire us. God loves us and only wants the best for us. And as Christians, we are called to embody God's love for us, for those around us. Have I got another one? Yes. As Christians, we are called to make disciples and spread the good news about God's amazing plan. Now, regardless of your denomination or which church you're in, whether you're in TLC or the Catholic Church around the corner, I would put money on Christians being able to say, yes, those are at the core of what we do. Okay? So those are our core values, I think, that worldwide we can sign up to. As a congregation, as an individual congregation, we have additional beliefs that are core to our expression of church that others might not agree with. Okay? So they don't contradict these. They're an addition. So again, sat at my breakfast bar yesterday, I tried to work some out. This is not a comprehensive list. We are all sinners, and our sin, past or present, is not a barrier to our participation in church. Everyone is welcome. I'm not necessarily talking about Christians here. I'm saying that everyone, that we are all sinners, full stop. Yeah. And continue to sin, right? Yes. And that having sin is not a barrier to us participating in church. True. Anyone can walk through the door. Yes. God has given us Holy Spirit who lives in us and guides everything we do. I think that is a particularly a value particular to the charismatic church in particular and various elements of the... I think lots of churches do. I think other churches believe that as well. Yeah. I'm not coming on to that because I missed that one, but well done. We all have a ministry. These are not comprehensive lists. We all have a ministry, a role to play within church and the wider world. I think we can all agree that. We can all contribute when we meet together. In fact, Paul encourages us all to participate in the second of our two verses this morning. Regardless of our weakness, education, status or sex, everyone can contribute. Marriage is between husband and wife. Everything else is a distortion of God's plan for us, and sex is something that God has given us to enjoy within marriage. So we're getting onto controversial ground now. And the Bible is not only God-given, but is also infallible, and attempts to rewrite it to make it more palatable to the culture or society we live in are wrong. Now, I would say, for me, I would say that's what I think are at the core of our values. There are other values that I've probably missed. The fact that we may differ on these views from other Christians does not detract from the fact that we are united in our shared core beliefs. But it does raise the question about how we can be truly united with other Christians, or even amongst ourselves, where there are differences between us. And that, I think, is where the challenge is. I believe the answer lies within one word: love. When we love someone... I've got a little slide. Come on. Where is it? Oh, missed that one. There we go. When we love someone, we focus on those things we share rather than where we have differences. We don't shy away from discussing those differences, but we do so from a position of love and mutual respect for each other. Take football, for example. You should all know by now that I'm involved with Buntingford Town Football Club. If you don't, where have you been when I preach? But I'm also a Spurs supporter. I was hoping Mike would be here, but he's not. My love of football is shared by many people. Some in this room right now. Some people went to Canvey Island. How was that, Steve? Oh, and Nick. But not everyone shares my particular combination of affections for the mighty Bunt and Spurs. Some of the guys I play with and manage at Buntingford have the temerity to support other clubs in the Premier League. Does that mean I attack them verbally and argue with them every weekend? Of course not. No, of course not. Yeah, we tease each other. We tease each other about our support for different teams, and we debate which team is better. But we focus on the shared joy that we get from football generally, and in particular being involved in Buntingford Football Club. We are different, but we're united. As a leadership team, we've been working our way through a strategic planning toolkit at times, which at times has been challenging. All of us are different people on the leadership team. We all have different views, visions and passions, and it would have been very easy for our discussions to turn into arguments over who was right and who was wrong. But we share a common set of beliefs and we love each other. If we'd have gone into that exercise without that foundation, our discussions would have quickly descended into argument and we would not have been united. Instead, we listened to each other, questioned our own positions and statements, and arrived at a shared position which did not involve compromising on our individual visions or beliefs, but that recognised the common ground that we as a church share. So, for the first time ever, I think, our new mission statement. Okay? This took an entire day to sort out. So this is our resulting mission statement is this: to hear God's heart and to see our communities impacted by the kingdom of God in an accessible, effective, and sustainable way, experiencing the love and presence of God across the generations. Now, we will be unpacking that over the next year or two, because there's a lot of thinking that's gone on behind that. So it is effectively a collection of words. But as a leadership team, that's what we're striving towards. Everything we do is aiming at that goal. So wrap all of that up. Paul encourages us to unite, to agree with each other in what we say, to come together in mind and thought, and to contribute so the church may be strengthened. We must remember that unity is not uniformity. We are all different. We have all different backgrounds, experiences, skills, and views. But like that pack of celebrations, we're stronger together than we are apart. Even if you believe that you're the bounty in that pack, you have to understand that you still have value. You still bring something to the table. Some people do. Most people don't. God is not a God of divide and rule. He is a God of love, and his love must underpin everything we do. Where there are differences, we must approach these respectfully with his love, God's love, front and centre. We must value each other as much as he values us. And above all, we must accept that there are always going to be different areas where we disagree, where there is room for debate. But at our heart, we have common beliefs and a God who loves us so much that he sent his only son to die so that he could have a personal relationship with us.